This is your boy Webby Webb, and you're now tuned in to the Talk It Up Sports Podcast, where the talk is important.
What's going on, y'all? Webby Webb here, Talk It Up Sports. Y'all, I got Jeff Lightsey Jr. This is my brother. This is my main man, my pro fight locked in. Yes, it's 2021. You ain't heard from me. Jeff's been doing this thing. Jeff, what is going on, my brother?
Hey, peace and blessings, brother. Peace and blessings all the way here, man. Nothing much going. We just grateful to have life, grateful to be healthy, grateful everything is going pretty good. That's all. I can't make no complaints.
That's facts. So, y'all, we're going to talk some NFL. It is definitely NFL draft time, and there is a lot of speculation going on from 1 through 10. You know, 1 through 10. Yeah. The whole draft is pretty much loaded, I feel like. So, we're going to go ahead and get right into it. We know Jacksonville is looking to take Trevor Lawrence, but New York at number two. There's been a lot of speculation. We know Sam Darnold is not there anymore. Is Zach Wilson the guy? Or what you think, Jeff?
It's pretty locked in. So, like, even if you watch any of the mock drafts or any of the people on TV, whether it's Fox Sports or ESPN, it's Trevor Lawrence one, Zach Wilson two. That seems to be, you know, the end-all, be-all. And it looks like the draft is going to actually start at three, right? Like, what the 49ers decide to do. So, yeah, Zach Wilson is definitely going to be the pick. Even from the people that I've talked to, it looks like Zach Wilson is the guy to go to New York. But the draft actually starts with San Francisco on the clock at number three.
So why are people sold on Zach Wilson, though? I feel like, personally, what has he proved necessarily?
He hasn't proved anything.
What has he proved to get number two? Is that just like New York being New York?
Basically, a lot of people see if you look at Zach Wilson, man, first of all, the strength of schedule was horrible. I mean, they played teams like a bad WKU team, and they played one team that was ranked, that was Coastal Carolina, and he had a bad game, right? So, like, and then Zach Wilson's also had two major surgeries in college, like two shoulder surgeries. So one thing that scares me, he's only been a good starter for 1 year. That's scary. It normally doesn't lead to success in the NFL. And two, the 1 year that he did have good, he didn't play any good teams. And like the one good team that he played, which was a Coastal Carolina team, once again, not a, you know, powerhouse, but he struggled in that game. So Zach Wilson, it's the fact that everybody, NFL is a copycat league. So whenever you see somebody have success, you always want to get a version of that. But 9 times out of 10, you're not going to get that same thing. So in Zach Wilson, people see a lot of like Patrick Mahomes traits, right? He runs around. He's got a lively arm. What I mean by lively is like the ball pops when he throws it. I will say he's got like a lot of Patrick Mahomes, Brett Favre to him. So that's what they're trying to get. And because Mahomes is like the godson quarterback of the NFL right now, and Aaron Rodgers, they see Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Brett Favre, and a Zach Wilson. And they're trying to recreate that. But like I said, 9 times out of 10, you're not going to get that guy, especially when you're going into that division, which is really tough. That's still got Bill Belichick. It's got the Bills and Josh Allen and what they're doing. It's got Miami that's playing really well. And you got a rookie head coach and a young GM. It's going to be tough. You know what I mean? So we'll have to see what the Jets are on.
So given the fact that they got rid of Sam Darnold, at first I thought that was their future. I thought they were going to build around him. I thought they were going to go get talented receivers, a solid offensive line, and that was going to be their future. The fact that they're really doing a complete 360, like that's a 360. You're going to a guy, like you said, he's got shoulder injuries. Like, you know, you don't know exactly how healthy he is, and you can't depend on the schedule of BYU BYU to do that. But, I mean, what if we see, you know, maybe I know this is not going to happen, but I'd like to see Justin Fields there, man. I would like to see Justin Fields, but like I said, is we already know the one, the two is locked in. So,
yeah, I wouldn't want to see Justin Fields in New York, though. I wouldn't want to see him playing for the Jets because of those things that I mentioned. It's going to be a struggle for Zach Wilson. I mean, you're talking about Bill Belichick, which is the GOAT of coaching, right? And what's his specialty? Defense. Brian Flores down in Miami, they built a juggernaut in like 1 year. They were like the laughingstock in the NFL the year, you know, 2 years ago. And then last year they became like a really good team, even though their quarterback Tua wasn't very good. And so, and what's he known for? His specialty was what? Defense. He comes from that New England tree. And then over there in Buffalo, their head coach, his specialty is what? Defense. So it's like you have three defensive giants in one division going against a rookie head coach, young GM, and now a rookie quarterback. I wouldn't want Justin Fields in that situation. So that's why I'm glad he's not going to the Jets.
So you're basically saying, like, no, that just screams trouble. Like, you, that's
yes, absolutely. It's going to be a struggle. You're gonna have to be a Superman to be able to make that work. You see, Sam Darnold, he probably had a higher grade than Zach Wilson coming out of college to a lot of people, and he struggled. He couldn't make anything happen. It was partly because they had a bad coach. They just hired a bad person. They should have never hired Adam Gase. But the other part was because they're in a really, really tough division and a tough place to win. The Jets ain't won nothing in 50 years. You know what I mean? Like, it's a tough place to win in New York for the Jets anyway.
The Jets definitely with no pieces. So we're going to have to – we're going to have to stay tuned to see how that turns out, because we know the 1 and 2 are locked. But as we go to the 3 and the 4 and the 5 and the 6, it starts to get a little spicy, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, before even like 2 months ago, I've seen reports where Mac Jones wasn't even listed in the first round. Like, that was just what I was seeing. I don't know how this like came apart where now they're saying, all right, Mac Jones is our third pick. You know, he is going to be locked in. He's our next, you know, prophet for the 49ers. But now there's reports like you might have seen where Justin Fields might be that number 3 pick. Who are you going with for San Francisco to take number 3?
I think the 49ers are going to take Mac Jones, and here's why. So the reason why I think they're going to take Mac Jones, and it blows my mind and makes absolutely zero sense, right? Like, it's just idiotic in my head. But I think Kyle Shanahan thinks he's smarter than everybody. Right. Like, I think he's more one of those guys like Chip Kelly. When Chip Kelly was in college and even in the NFL, in his brain, it was his system over the players. But see, in the NFL, it's never like that. It's always the players, then the system. Right. Bill Belichick in New England had the perfect system for 20 years. You take away one player, that system didn't look too great last year. Now, did it? You know what I mean? Like, it's always the players. Exactly. You take away Brady from New England, had the perfect system, and they won 6 Super Bowls over 20 years with that system. But you removed one player, that system went to the trash. And so Kyle Shanahan in his mind is, I don't need a guy like Justin Fields that'll run around, that's got this big arm and make things happen. I don't need a guy like Trey Lance that'll run around and freelance, or even a Zach Wilson or whatever. If Trevor Lawrence was there, obviously he would have took him. But it's like, Mac Jones is a guy that's going to stick to the script and not go off track and going to execute my system the way I want it to be executed. And that to him is acceptable. It's not the fact that if you added Justin Fields or even Trey Lance to some extent, but let's stick with Fields to an offense with Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle. Like, think about how scary that sounds. And then a defense that's got all those guys that San Francisco's got, like Bosa and all those other guys. Like, that would be scary. People in the NFC West would be scared to death to play San Francisco. But if you got Mac Jones, Mac Jones is a bus driver. He can get you there. But he's not going to. He's not a – I don't need a bus driver. I want an IndyCar racer when I'm at quarterback, right? I want a guy that can push the pedal to the metal and make plays and make things happen. Those are the guys that are winning in the NFL. Those are the Josh Allens. Those are the Justin Herberts. Those are the Patrick Mahomes. Those guys are making plays, and those guys are getting rich, you know what I'm saying, because they can make plays. Now, old man Brady just won a Super Bowl, but Brady's an anomaly. don't think Mac Jones will come in and be Brady. That's different. But the guys that are making plays and making things happen in the NFL are the guys that look more like Justin Fields as opposed to Mac Jones. And so, but I think Shanahan thinks he's smarter than everybody, and that's why he's going to pick Mac Jones.
See, and I think he feels like, you know, he played under Saban. Like, he has this, you know, tradition of winning. See, but like I said, we both know college and NFL are two different things. I would take a risk on Fields. Like you said, I mean, you seen the last time they took a risk on a brother, the 49ers, what happened? Kaepernick, you know what I'm saying? So, like, when Kaepernick was playing with them, so it's like, do we know what the potential will be? I just don't – I don't see them – like you say, I don't see them actually taking that risk on, Fields, you know?
Like, and here's the thing about Mac Jones. The thing about Mac Jones is, like, we know his ceiling. Like, we know if Mac Jones becomes, like, the best version of himself, he will never be – he will be just as good as a Kirk Cousins. Right, that's a good career for Mac Jones. And no offense to Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins made a lot of money. He's won a lot of football games. But Justin Fields' ceiling is somebody just way better than Kirk Cousins. Like, we don't know what Justin Fields' ceiling is. He has all the tools and all the talent and the accuracy. That's the thing. He has the accuracy, and that's the thing they try to hold against brothers all the time, is they can't never be accurate. Justin Fields is 70% completion percentage in college. his ceiling is unlimited. Like, we don't know what Fields' ceiling is. But Mac Jones, if he becomes the best version of himself, he becomes Kirk Cousins. And with a Kirk Cousins, no offense to Kirk Cousins, you don't trade from 12 to 3 and 3 first-rounders to get a Kirk Cousins in the top 3. I'm sorry. Kirk Cousins was taken in the 4th round, right? Yeah. Hey, Kirk Cousins was taken in the 4th round. You don't trade from 12 to 3 for Kirk Cousins. You just don't do that.
And Mac Jones, he seems like, I mean, watching him play Alabama, you know, he has some type of mobility, but it's more of like, who can, like you said, who can better fit that offense? Like you said, you have a running game, you have a receiving game, and then the defense. Like, you have a really solid defense. So why in the heck would you not take a risk on a younger quarterback? Well, you know, a more versatile quarterback as such as Field. You know, yeah. Why won't you do that? But if the 49ers don't take him, right? Who's going to take him? Is it Fields? Obvious? Yeah, Fields.
Well, he could slide. Here's the thing. So the 49ers have the 3rd pick. Atlanta's got the 4th pick. Now, Fields doesn't go to Atlanta at 4. Say if Atlanta decides to go with Kyle Pitts, right? Like, say they wanted to take Kyle Pitts at number 4 and not a quarterback. Cincinnati, we know, is not taking a quarterback. They got Burrow. Yeah. At 6, they're at 6. Who's at 6?
Miami.
Yeah, Miami's not. They kind of made it seem like they're going to stick with Tua, so they're not taking a quarterback. Detroit's at 7. They just traded for Jared Goff. They're not taking a quarterback. Carolina just traded for Sam Darnold. They're not taking a quarterback. So now you're looking at the 9, which is Denver. Yep. They have a young quarterback, so maybe they want to stick with him. They should take one. They should take Fields at 9, but say they don't. Now we're talking about that New England, maybe New England is hovering around and decides to trade up, because we know Dallas, they just paid Dak. They're not taking a quarterback. And the Giants have Daniel Jones. They're not taking a quarterback at 11. So it's going to be interesting to see where Justin Fields ends up if he slides past Atlanta at 4. I think somebody's going to make – if he gets past Atlanta, right, like if Atlanta uses their pick and drafts somebody, a Kyle Pitts or something, somebody is going to be on the phone with either Miami or Detroit or Carolina to come up and get Justin Fields, because he's that good. He's not getting out. I don't think he's getting outside the top 10, or he shouldn't. And it's going to mess around and be New England that gets a chance to take a guy like Justin Fields. And then they're going to make the NFL sick for the next 20 years.
There's another guy. There's another team. Like, you might be like, you might know what I'm going to be saying on this one. If he slides out of 6, they might definitely need a pickle to call. That's Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers. They better be on that phone saying, hey, Justin Fields, what is going on? Because Big Ben is about to hang it up. So that's another team to possibly look out. And you had mentioned that on Twitter as well.
Yeah, they need a quarterback. They need a quarterback bad. The problem with Pittsburgh is you're going to have to move heaven and earth to get in the top 10. Pittsburgh's pick isn't until the 20s, like 24 or something. Yeah. So, like, they would have to give up a ton of draft capital to go from 24 to, say, a 6 where Miami's at, or a 7 where Detroit's at. So, I mean, it would be interesting. I'd love to see Justin Fields end up in a situation on the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, to be quite honest, because then I know he's going into the best, or one of the best situations any young quarterback could ever inherit. But seeing that happen, I don't really see it.
Right. One can only dream. So we talked Fields, we talked Jones, we talked Wilson. Now, Lance. Lance is another quarterback that kind of his similar play kind of reminds me of Russell Wilson. Everyone was like, what? Like, come on, man. Is he really going to be like that? I mean, we don't really know his style of play. Where do you see, Lance going?
Trey Lance is he is the biggest question mark in this draft. I think I think Trevor Lawrence is a can't miss. I think he's going to be good. I don't know if he'll be a three-time Super Bowl champion, but I think he's going to be a Pro Bowler. Like, he'll have 5, 6, 7, 8 Pro Bowls by the time his career is over. I think he's that good. The Zach Wilson, I think, is the most likely to bust because of the situation that he's going into, because of the level of competition, all of that, his injury. I think he's – I hate to do it to these guys, but the biggest boom, I think, will be Trevor Lawrence, or he has the highest floor. Zach Wilson, to me, is the most likely to bust. But the biggest question mark is Trey Lance, because a lot of Trey Lance's success, and with all of these guys, but specifically Trey Lance, is to what situation he goes into. He's not ready to start in the NFL day one. I mean, it's just be honest. The man has 17 starts. He had 1 year of college football as a starter, essentially, in one game, one showcase game. He didn't look really good. But if he goes into a situation like in Atlanta, where he can sit behind Matt Ryan for a year, maybe even two, like a, you know, I don't know, a Pittsburgh situation where he can sit behind Big Ben for a year. You know what I mean? Like a whoever, pick a team that has a quarterback, a New England situation where he can sit behind Cam for a year. Trey Lance is going to have to learn the NFL game for a year. It's going to take him some time to learn the game because you're coming from North Dakota State. You're coming off only 16, 17 starts in your career. You're going to need time to adjust to the NFL. You see what Green Bay's doing with their first-round pick last year, Jordan Love. He came from like Utah State or something. It's going to and he probably didn't look that great his first year because it takes time to go from lower-level college football to the NFL. It doesn't matter who you are. It just takes time. So a lot of his is going to be based on the situation, but he has all the traits to be a high level starter. He looks like the modern NFL. He looks like he's 6'4", he's 225. Mm-hmm. He runs a 4.5 or something. He's strong. He's physical. He has a nice throwing arm. He was accurate. Like, he looks like what the modern day NFL looks like. And so I think he can have a lot of success, but he is a project. And it's going to take some time before he becomes a true NFL caliber guy. But I think he has the potential to be like a league MVP type of talent. He's that good.
Yeah, I believe there's one of those things where you have to assess how, like, things like preseason and, you know, his play before he actually is going to be able to get to the NFL, because there's a lot of teams, like, that might be saying, like, we don't know what to expect. We really don't know what to expect. You really don't know what to expect out of none of these players.
Nobody's a guarantee.
Nothing is guaranteed. But a team I would like to see him on, honestly, is Washington. You know, Washington is a team that is going to be a problem, you know. And if you put him on there with guys like McLaurin, and they have Gibson, like, they have a whole squad, you know, of this young athletic talent. And then that if you add him, who we might have to sit under – I know it might sound crazy. Might have learned a little bit from Fitzpatrick, but, like, that's okay.
Fitzpatrick, Heineke, you know, like those, you know, guys can, like, play.
That's okay. But I feel like with that ceiling, you know, Rivera, like, he'll be able to learn from them. Like, you know, he'll be able to learn and get into that system, fling the ball, and really just show his athleticism with a talented, talented team. So I think Washington might be the team for them, because I'm, like you said, looking at these, you know, the draft the lineup, some of these teams aren't really crying for quarterbacks because they have their future quarterbacks. So these young guys better be crossing their fingers that, okay, well, if I can go to New England and sit underneath somebody, I'll take it. Or if I can go to Philly, even, you know, send the squad, you mess with, like, then I'll take it. So definitely eager to see how this quarterback room shapes out. So if we transition a little bit to, you know, wide receivers, this is another kind of like up in the air type of deal with, you know, the wide receiver class for this. What are your thoughts about this year's pool of wide receivers?
So the wide receiver position is one of the most coveted positions in the NFL right now, simply because it's such a passing league and we put so much onus on quarterbacks. Well, these guys had to have somebody to throw it to, right? Like, that was the problem in New England. Brady left New England and went to Tampa Bay because he looked on the outside and saw Godwin and Mike Evans and O.J. Howard and all these players, and he brought in Gronk and he brought in, like, all these weapons. But at that wide receiver room, he looked and said, oh, they got some players over there. I'm going to go play with them. This wide receiver group might be the deepest in a very long time. I mean, there are guys that won't go until round 3 and 4 that could step right in and be NFL starters. Like, there's some really, really talented wide receivers. And my favorite is Ja'Marr Chase. I think Ja'Marr Chase, just simply, like, his size, his speed, everything he does. But put it like this. This is why Ja'Marr Chase is the best receiver in this draft, right? The best rookie receiver last year had one of the greatest rookie receiving seasons in the history of the NFL was Justin Jefferson last year for the Minnesota Vikings. He had like 1,400 yards.
Crazy.
He broke a lot of Randy Moss records, right? Justin Jefferson was the number two to Ja'Marr Chase in college. That's how good Chase is, right? Like, Justin Jefferson was the second option to Ja'Marr Chase, the guy who just set all the rookie records. So that is why Ja'Marr Chase is that guy. He's 6'2", he runs a 4.3, he's 205, 210, whatever, 40-inch vertical. He's the number one receiver. The number one pass catcher, though, the number one, the guy that I think is the only can't miss, I don't see, no matter what team you drop him on, he is going to be an all-pro multiple times in his career, is Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts is the guy that I see in this draft. It's like, He can't miss. Like, there's no, I see, and now obviously he can, but I don't see bust potential at all on Kyle Pitts. Because the way the NFL plays.
That's big. That's a big statement, Jeff.
No, absolutely. I don't care. It doesn't matter what team you put Kyle Pitts on, he's going to have success in my mind, because he does everything perfect. And the way the NFL is going, well, not blocking, they don't really block, but tight ends don't even block in the NFL anymore. But with the way the guys like the Darren Wallers and the Kelseys and the Gronks and Kyle Pitts is in that mode, 6'6", 240, runs a 4.4, and guys a 38-inch vertical, didn't drop a ball last year, Mark. Kyle Pitts in the SEC, going against number one corners, going against the Patrick Surtains that'll go in the top 10, going against the Kelvin Josephs that'll probably be a second-round pick, going against A.J. Terrell that was a first-round pick in all the SEC corners. They couldn't guard him, and he didn't drop a ball. He had 12 touchdown catches in 12 games. So, yeah, Kyle Pitts is the number one can't-bust player, and it doesn't matter what team he's going to be on. But him and Ja'Marr Chase, I think, will be really good. Devontae Smith scares me a little bit, 166 pounds. Is really, really light. You can't be a number one receiver weighing 6 foot, 160 pounds. You can't be a number one receiver. So I wouldn't touch Devontae Smith early in the first round like I would Kyle Pitts and Ja'Marr Chase. But I think he can still be a good pro. He just got to get in the right system with the right team. But yeah, those are like the top guys. But Jaylen Waddle's also a really good player that'll go really high and that I like a lot too.
So I think this past year, you know, don't get me wrong, Ja'Marr Chase is that guy. He's unbelievable. But personally, this is what I see. I see what we've seen out of Devontae Smith. His size is definitely going to play a humongous factor in the NFL. He's got to, you know, he's got to increase it. He's got to do whatever they do. And teams are, I believe, willing to take a risk on that. Now, how early he's going to come off the board, I don't know. But just spectacular season he had last year was just – so phenomenal. I believe that teams are going to be eager and they might be willing to make that risk, you know. But we also know that the ceiling for a wide receiver can be replaced. I mean, there's fourth round, fifth round picks that they're solid wide receivers. So
yeah,
Devontae Smith is, like you said, his size is going to be the determining factor for him. But like I said, I think he can ball, and whatever team that gets him is going to be very, very special. You know,
he's a good player. He's a good player, but man, there's no wide receiver in the league, a number one wide receiver that's 166 pounds. You know who else was 166 pounds when they got drafted? Like Hollywood Brown was that size, right? When he got drafted. And as good as Hollywood Brown is, you know, he's a good player. But what do we talk about the Ravens needing? More help, more receivers, more help. A number one guy. Because a guy that little, that small, that he's you close. Know, that physically limited. Can't be your number one. So when you're talking about drafting a guy in the top 10 or the top 15, you need to be a number one. Jaylen Waddle's a number one. Hell, Jaylen Waddle was the number one at Bama before he got hurt. He was the go-to receiver over Devontae Smith. Not to take anything away from Devontae Smith's special Heisman Trophy winning season. He deserved it. But Jaylen Waddle was their best receiver, if you ask a lot of people. Jaylen Waddle will probably come off the board before Devontae, if you ask a lot of people. We probably get taken on Thursday before Devontae Smith. So, you know, no offense to Devontae Smith, but I just can't draft a receiver that high if I don't think he's going to be a number one. And I don't think Devontae Smith is going to be a number one in the league. He'll be a really good number two.
Yeah.
But he's not a number one at the NFL level. I don't see it.
So I see personally, I personally see maybe the Cowboys taking him. Call me crazy. I just think the Cowboys.
Taking who? Smith?
Yeah, I think the Cowboys would take Smith. I just think that
they need to take defense, man. They need defense, defense, defense. They got plenty of – they got Gallup and Amari Cooper. Yep,
they got
Zeke. Well, all of them off. They just paid Dak a ton. CeeDee Lamb. They just took CeeDee Lamb in the first round last year.
Yeah, for some reason, I feel like there's some type of weirdness that's going to allow that to happen. But like I said, I could be wrong. But if you had to pick a team, you know, out of 32 teams, who would you see – willing to take a chance on him?
On Devontae Smith.
Yeah, on Devontae Smith.
I mean, he's going to get – I can see Arizona. Arizona, I think, is in that, like, 16 range. I can see them snagging up Devontae Smith because I think Larry Fitzgerald's probably played his last game. So Arizona's a team I'd watch out for. A team that would need like a number two, say if Green Bay, if he falls down to Green Bay, like that's late, really late in the draft. But I can see Green Bay being really creative. They already have their number one and a number one receiver in Devontae Adams. They could snag, you know, if he happens to drop like that, they could snatch up Devontae Smith. So Devontae Smith is going to get taken in the first round. To me, it just has to be by a team that already has a number one receiver, like a Baltimore Ravens. I wouldn't want the Ravens to draft Devontae Smith. He, as good as he is, once again, he's not a number one. He's not what the Ravens need. The Ravens need a bigger target, like a Terrence Marshall or Rashad Bateman, a guy like that, a guy of that size. They would really love to get like a Ja'Marr Chase, but he'll clearly be gone. So, but yeah, a team that already has a clear-cut number one receiver that can add, that needs some, add some firepower on the outside, like a Green Bay Packers or somebody, Devontae would be really good for. One of my favorite receivers in the draft that won't go day one, he might go round two or three, is Rondale Moore out of Purdue. Really like Rondale Moore. He's very short, but he is explosive. He's short and he's got some injury problems, and that's why he's going to slip. But if he is able to stay healthy, that's a big if, but if he's able to stay healthy, he might be the steal of the draft at the receiver position because of how explosive he is. He ran a 4.2. He's like 190 pounds. He's only 5'7", but he was an All-American his freshman year. He lit up Ohio State at Purdue. He lit up every team pretty much when he was healthy. Any team they played against, he lit them up, including Ohio State with all their corners like Jeff Okuda and Sheffield and those guys that went in the first round. He tore those guys up for over 200 yards. So I'm really excited to see who's able to snag on day two, who's able to snag up Rondale Moore.
And that basically goes to say that some of the best players come in day two or three, you know, so it really doesn't even matter if you go top one or, you know, if you go pick 265, whatever it is, it comes down to players like that who've really played the game, but teams are scared to take risk. But really quickly on the offensive side, Najee Harris, you know, like he's another one like that. Another guy that kind of excites me, you know, when it comes to, you know, explosive playmakers and stuff like that. There has been talks, you know, that he could go as early to Pittsburgh. I've been seeing Pittsburgh before. Now, you might be like, all right, Mark, you pulling my leg with all this Pittsburgh stuff. Maybe it's because, you know, I definitely have seen teams fitting him for that just because Connor and they struggle with offensively with the, running the ball. So, not sure if that will be exactly the pick for them, but what do you think about Najee Harris and what type of offense could you see him possibly falling into?
Najee Harris is the epitome of the modern day running back, right? He can, you know, catch the ball out of the backfield because most running backs are pretty good running the ball, right? But he runs the ball really extremely well. He's a patient runner. Kind of reminds me of Le'Veon Bell, ironically, Pittsburgh. He's a patient runner. He runs under his pads, right? So he's like 6'2", 6'3". And for the long, his first 3 years at Alabama, he ran kind of like tiptoe, what running back coaches, he would tiptoe through the hole and kind of do too much. Now he started lowering the boom on these defensive backs and on these linebackers. And then when you got an open space and dudes try to dive at his ankles, he was hopping over cats and just kept running. Like his athletic ability is superb. It's supreme. And it was the guy that was ranked the number one high school running back coming out of high school. So I really like Najee Harris. I think he's the best running back in this draft. But I also really like the guys out of North Carolina. They have two running backs out of North Carolina I think are really good. But Najee Harris, I think, is the best. I could see him in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh needs running backs. I mean, let's just be honest. They let go of James Conner. I think he went to Arizona.
Yep.
And Pittsburgh's running game was pathetic last year. I mean, just call it what it was. It was horrible. It was one of the worst in the NFL. Pittsburgh's offense was all reliant on Big Ben and his dying arm to throw the ball 50, 55 times a game. And that just – clearly that wasn't going to work in postseason. Everybody knew that was a fluke, that 11-0 start. So, yeah, getting a guy like Najee Harris will help Pittsburgh tremendously because he's a way better running back talent than James Conner right now, than Conner is even in the NFL.
And most people are scared to take a risk on a running back in the first round. So that is definitely going to be eager to see. So very quickly as well on defense, anything particular that might spark your eye as far as like defensively who you think might go first?
It's weird because it's a weird defensive draft, right? Like there's no premier pass rusher in this year's draft. Like, it seems like every year there's at least one guy that's an edge rusher that goes really high, really early. But there's no guy like that in this year's draft. You know, last year was Chase Young. The year, you know, years before it was the Bosa brothers. And we've had, like, you know, guys every year, it seems like there's at least one top ranked pass rusher, but there's not a guy like that in this year's draft. So I find that really interesting. I'm curious to see who's going to be the first one off the board. The best defensive player in this draft, though, is Micah Parsons out of Penn State. Micah Parsons out of Penn State, he didn't play. He opted out of the 2020 season because of COVID or whatever. But if you look at his 19 tape, he's like Devin White, right? Like, he's like a bigger, faster version of Devin White who just won the Super Bowl with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's Micah Parsons. Micah Parsons is like 2-3 inches taller than Devin White.
He's got
about 20-25 pounds heavier than Devin White. And he ran a 4.38, Mark. You ran a 4.38, bro, at 246 pounds at 6'3". He's an inside linebacker that plays sideline to sideline. He's in that Devin White, Devin Bush that plays for Pittsburgh mold. He is great. He's the best defensive player in this draft. I really like also J.C. Horn out of South Carolina. J.C. Horn, between him and Surtain, they're probably the two best cornerback prospects. Surtain's more technically sound, but J.C. Horn is a big playmaker. Surtain doesn't get many interceptions. As many guys don't throw his way, but J.C. Horn, like, baits you into throwing his way. It's kind of like he's in that Marcus Peters mold where you can get beat, but he can come up, he lays the boom, he hits hard, and he makes plays on the outside. So Micah Parsons and J.C. Horn are my two favorite defenders in this draft that'll go early.
That'll go early. A player that I feel like he might – I don't know if he'll necessarily go early, but, you know, they've got Nixon, you know, out of Iowa. Like, he, the defensive lineman, he is very, you know, versatile. He moves around fast. I mean, you know, we've seen what he did in the Big Ten, so, like, phenomenal. But my only thing is you know, his ability to get off the blocks. That might cause him to drop just a little, just because in the NFL, you can't get off the ball, then you grass. Like, you have to be able to create separations, and a lot of teams are looking for, you know, they're not really going for 400-pound type of defensive lineman anymore. They want to be able to have their defensive lineman drop back into coverage even sometimes, you know, or different type of zones. So I think that, you know, Davion Nixon is a guy to kind of keep an eye out for, just because of his ability to, you know, just to cause up space necessarily. So before I go, Jeff, man, is there anything else, man, that you're looking forward to come Thursday and the remainder of the weekend?
I love the NFL draft's one of my favorite things in all of sports. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I literally love the draft around 1 through 7, right? So I'm really interested to see. I'm like that pass rusher story, you know, storyline I was telling you about. I'm really ready to see who's gonna be the first pass rusher, how many are gonna go early, like about that. I also wanna see, like I said, the draft starts at 3, but there's kind of clear indication they're probably going to take Mac Jones. Who's going to somebody? There's been a bunch of trades already. We've seen Miami Dolphins trade twice. We saw the 49ers move up. There's going to be at least one more major trade in this draft to come up and get, because one of those quarterbacks is going to fall. Trey Lance, Justin Fields, probably both of them are going to fall. So somebody is going to move up to go get one of those guys. I'm curious to see who it's going to be. Is it going to be Washington? Is it going to be New England? Is it going to be the Bears? Which team is going to trade up into that top 10 to come get their quarterback? So I'm interested to see when that happens. And then just to see all the new talent come into the NFL, always exciting to see. I just love the draft, man.
Early winners of the – if you had to pick one team, who's going to win this year's draft? So we can come back and see if you were right or wrong. If you had to pick one team that's going to do – well in the draft, who you think is going to be like?
I guess the teams that typically do well in the draft. I guess, you know, Dallas drafts really well. I mean, at least their early picks. They normally hit on their early picks. They hit on Zeke. They hit on all their offensive linemen. CeeDee Lamb looks like he's going to be a star. So, ironically, I think Dallas is going to get a really good player. I think whatever team gets Kyle Pitts is a winner. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know who that's going to be. If that's Atlanta, if that's Miami at 6, they're going to be – I think Miami's going to do really well too, though, because Miami has the infrastructure to have a really, really good team. Most of it's based upon Tua and what Tua – how he's going to develop in year two. But I think Miami, whoever they get at 6, I don't really think they can go wrong at 6. They're going to have their choice between Ja'Marr Chase, Kyle Pitts, Panay Sewell on the offensive line. So they're going to get somebody really, really good. So I if I had to choose a winner right now, I think it's going to be Miami. They have two first-round picks. I think they're going to be a winner.
Yeah, so based on, like you said, previous, you know, I'm going to make my decision based on what I just saw in the offseason. You know, I think New England's going to pull something out their sleeve and get funky. And they like you said, they might get Fields, man. If they get Fields, it's over. So I'm going to bank and say New England is going to be the team that drafts really well, that makes a that will be the winner of the draft. Now, I might be wrong, but I for some reason my gut is telling me Belichick. You know, and the dog Nike, you know, last year, you know, it was virtual last year. So he had the dog on the, you know, on the computer and stuff. So that was all viral. But I think Belichick, man, he's got some up his sleeves that no one knows about. I mean, we know like he might draft talent that might be from HBCU. We just never know what's up Belichick's sleeve.
Well, Belichick typically doesn't do well in the first round. You know, he took N'Keal Harry in the first round. He looks like a bust. His first round picks don't normally pan out. But I think he's feeling that pressure from the success of Tom down in Tampa. Because of that, I could see him, especially if Justin Fields starts to slide, be like you said, be on the lookout for Belichick to trade up and go get one of those quarterbacks. Because somebody's going to make a trade into the top 10. I just don't know which team it is. Washington, Chicago, New England. Somebody's going to do it. I'm just curious and can't wait to see who it's going to be.
Yeah. Well, y'all, that's all we got right here. Talking about sports, I got my boy Jeff Lightsey here. Jeff, tell them where they can find you at, as usual.
At JLightsey7 on all social media. I'm on YouTube, the Black Boss channel. Check us out. We do a lot of great work over there, too.
Yes, sir. Shout out to him and Dr. Boyce. Let's go. Talk about sports.